Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you with us. As I said, we will be down in the fellowship hall next Sunday, and we'll have the nursery open. We're going to have the children's church will be taking place, so all the kids will be taken care of by next week. One little announcement: Kenny's class starts at 6 o'clock tonight. 6 o'clock tonight, not. Better. Testing 1, 2. We'll make sure it's not this one. We have a new board today, so we're trying to get it, all the wrinkles ironed out of it. And so love to have you next Sunday. You can bring people that may have had a challenge climbing up the steps. The steps will be a thing of the past. You'll appreciate the children's church and all the young parents that do it every Sunday. And so we'll be back down in there. We're really enjoying ourselves. Stand up if you would. Now that you're seated and all comfortable, stand up. You know how the routine is. And I want to talk to you today. Something the Lord gave me, I had something else planned, and the Lord just told me to speak on this. And because I think it's really needed today, especially in the stage. When, how many of you are rebuilding your homes? Let me just see. How many are rebuilding your homes? Probably about maybe half. I'm not sure. Regardless, James chapter 5 says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Everybody say patience. Amen. "Behold, we count them happy which endure." We count them happy which endure. You've heard the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. "Behold, we count them happy who endure." Everybody say endure. I want to talk to you today about happiness through endurance. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we pray for truth that sets free. Lord, I pray against theology that have come in our brains and minds of how life ought to be and how we ought to live and what ought to have happened or not happened and how, Lord, a Christian life should be. I just pray today, would you let the truth of the Word of God tear down every false idol and false theology that we put out there, and to know, Lord, what's real life. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Look at somebody say endure, would you, as you're being seated. The past two decades of the church, we have literally constructed theology that's absolutely not real. In fact, we've almost gotten to where the church has become a comfort zone, that we believe that somehow when we got to be with the Lord, that everything is supposed to be easy and comforted and, you know, peeling grapes on a cloud somewhere. We bought into the concept that if you're going through a difficult time, that somehow there's something wrong with your faith, or that you're not living right, there's some whatever. I want you to know that's wrong. The Bible says, "Take it not strange, the fiery trial that is to try you." Everybody say fiery. I believe we bought into quick fixes that don't fix, hype over holiness, deception, euphoria over endurance. And there is something in the Bible called endurance. That is where you endure some things. I don't know if you think that life ought to just be easy all the way through. The Bible says we count them happy who endure. Everybody say endure one more time. Endurance is one of God's favorite. It's not America's favorite words, but it's one of God's favorite words. America has become, at first, if you don't succeed, just lower your standard. Come on, somebody. But the Bible's not in that. The Bible's in endurance. Endurance is one of God's favorite words. There's a time in every ministry, every life, every marriage, every business, every ministry that quitting looks good. Problems are insurmountable, giants are unbeatable, and mountains seem immovable. But there's this word in the Bible called endurance. To endure, to endure, to endure. And we endure, and the Bible says, we endure. Some people just endure your job. You hate your job. You don't want to go to work. Tomorrow morning is just unbelievable. You just endure. There was a guy one time, he owned a factory, and he had a surprise visit one time. And he went in there, and there was a young man just leaning up against the wall doing nothing. And so he asked the young boy, "How much you make a week?" And the young boy said, $200. And the guy opened his billfold, pulled out $400. "Here's your 2-week notice. Get off my property." He goes, marches into the supervisor's office, What did that young, who is that young boy? He said, oh, no, he doesn't work here. He's the pizza delivery boy. Come on, somebody. Jasmine said, you just made that up. I didn't. Well, I just made that up. Oh, yeah. If you're going to succeed in life, you got to learn how to, everybody say endure. When Ezekiel wrote about the four faces of the man of God that he saw in the vision of God, he saw one was an eagle that soars in the heavens. One was a man that must be not losing humanity, a lion that was bold. But he saw a fourth one was an ox. Everybody say an ox. You know, we've had oxes in our lives. We used to plow with old mules and oxes. And I'm going to tell you, an ox is one that just endures and plows and plows and plows. And that's one of the natures of God. One of the natures of God is one just endurance. Behold, we count them happy who endure. What is endurance? Webster's Dictionary defines it as the ability to last. Say that with me. The ability to last. You don't have to be the best to succeed. You just have to have some endurance. You don't have to be the biggest to succeed. Most of you learn how to endure. If you're ever going to succeed in life or in the church or in ministry, you've got to learn how to endure. That's why we talked about how to walk a tightrope. You put one foot in front of the other. I remember one time we were in the Black Forest in West Germany, and Billy Hornsby and I were going through the area, and we came up on this college town, and in this college town there was a sign-up booth, and this guy was sitting there signing up people against America, and it was about Reagan during the Reagan years, and how Reagan was an actor, not a politician, and I remember Billy Hornsby had grown up. Billy had been a state policeman. And at the beginning, he used to be the bouncer. They used to send him in when there was a big deal going down in bars. And Billy was a big old guy. His daddy was a military man, colonel. And so when he was a little boy, when they needed to be sewn up and they had a cut, they didn't go to the doctor. They put a pencil in his mouth, and his daddy sewed them up. And so Billy grew up tough. And so they'd send, Billy was the bouncer, and he'd go in these bars and clean it out and come back. And you got to see, he used to witness to all these boys and get them saved behind when they had them in the back seat of his police car. But when we were over, and I remember we were walking by, and it just got me mad. And Billy said, I wouldn't fight that guy right there. I said, and he didn't look that big. I said, why wouldn't you fight him? Billy said, because that kind of guy right there won't quit. Come on, somebody. You knock him down about 10 times, he's getting back up. He's going to endure. Everybody say endurance, would you? I'm telling you, if you're going to be a successful Christian, you've got to learn how to endure. When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hold on. Some of you may feel like this morning you're at the end of your rope. Everybody gets knocked down sooner or later, but not everybody gets back up. So we've got knocked down. Not everybody here got knocked down, but a number of you got knocked down. Satan is terrified of people who are willing to try again. People who won't stay down. Get back up on your feet. When Satan comes to you and you're knocked down and he tells you that you're a failure, listen, when he tells you about your past about 2 months ago, just remind him of his future. Come on, somebody. Tell him the devil can't win because of Revelation 20:10. That says where God, the angel, takes him and throws him in the bottomless pit. So you've got to learn how to get back up on your feet. Listen, like a bulldog, I love Winston Churchill said, a bulldog's nose is sloped backwards so it can bite and breathe at the same time. That ought to be in the Bible somewhere, you know, for Christians. Stay in there. Listen, we didn't try this. I'm going to endure this thing. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stomp this thing is what I'm going to do. Everybody say try. You know what the word triumph means? Everybody say it with me. Triumph. Everybody say it one more time. Try. If you're going to triumph in this life, you're going to have some umping going on in your life. Listen, don't quit. Endure. You know, in the book of Revelation 3, 1 through 3, it says, he that overcometh shall this. He that overcometh shall this. You know what I mean? That God expects us to overcome. Yeah. Everybody say overcome, would you? Overcome. Matthew 24:13 says this. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Everybody say endure one more time. Endure. To the one that endures to the end will be saved. I made up my mind years ago. I may not be the best. I may not do everything perfect. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to endure to the end. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to lay down somewhere and squall and holler and tell how bad life is and what happened to me. Da, da, da. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, you will be saved. You know, Paul one time, he got tired of some people up. You know, they were complaining about this, that. And so he lists this long list of things he had to deal with. And he lists one thing after another. This happened to him, this happened to him, this happened to him, this happened to him, and all and on. And he said, and besides all that, the care of the church is on my heart every day. He said, he that endures to the end will be saved. Let me just say, I don't want to say that, like Paul said. Listen, I had 4 homes go underwater, 32 tractors, and 10 buildings. Come on, somebody. You just got one home. Come on, you just got one home. Just one home. Enjoy it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, I am ready to be offered at the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished. Everybody say finished. I made up my mind. I'm ready to finish my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearance. Everybody say amen. Do I have 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 3? I missed that one. Do you have that one listed? 2 Timothy 2 and 3. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Everybody say, endure hardness as a good soldier. I think we got there. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, Paul wrote Timothy that. We're still, listen, the church is a militant church. We're at a place where we're militant. We're not just some pansies. God has made us a militant church. Paul wrote Timothy, said, listen, endure hardness as a good soldier. How many of you have ever been in the military here? Let's see, how many of you have been in the military? A number of you have been in the military. Let me tell you something about the military. The military is made to take mama's fat little biscuit eaters and turn them into lean, mean fighting machines. You ought to see when they get those boys that's been, you know, babied by their mamas and they get them in boot camp. Let me tell you what boot camp. Boot camp is made to turn those guys into fighting machines. They start off by getting you in there and cutting that, you know, that $50 haircut you just finished. They just shave your head bald. And then they put a pair of clothes on you that is they take your designer jeans away from you. They put on you some clothes that are indescribable. And then they feed you food you wouldn't fed your dog 24 hours before. And just as soon as they lay you, what they do is they begin to make you hurt and march and go and hurry up, go stand in line, and then go do it again. And then as soon as they let you lay down, about an hour or so later, they come in with a can with a swagger and say, get up, you meatballs, get up. And they don't care what you think because they don't think you're smart enough to think anything to start with. But what they do is they're doing this. Little by little, they're training you. They're challenging you. You're enduring some stuff. You're getting to a place where the day is going to come when you're going to be on a hillside somewhere and the officer is going to say, charge! And what he doesn't want is sitting there thinking, well, let's see, there's 40 of them and 20 of us. That's a 50% percentile. I ain't going to make it. Scratch that assignment. You know what he's ready to do? When he says charge, he says go, there is no stopping. You take off. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I know some of you, we're in the army of the Lord. Some of you have joined the Secret Service. I understand that. Some of you have joined the Secret Service branch. But he wants us to be an aggressive church. Look what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7 says. If you endure chastening. Now, I know about you. I didn't like get whipped when I was young. Anybody just love your whipping? Anybody just love it? I told you my dad used to take us in the bedroom and tell us to scream. He hit the bed with a belt. Come on, somebody. My mom was a disciplinarian. My dad just, you know, he just good natured. We just had a good time. But there were a time or two when he just couldn't take it anymore. But let me tell you this, the Bible says, he that endures, I don't know about you, I didn't just float through chastening. I mean, when my mama whipped me, I remember the day when I climbed under the pews at a church, and I went from the front pew to the back pew, tickling people's legs. Come on, somebody. That was a 3-switch day that day. That was a 3, you ever had them put 3 switches together? You know what a switch is, a small branch off a tree. I was a 3, I'll never forget, that was a 3, how many know I never did that again? I endured chastening. If you endure chastening, then there's some things in your Christian walk you're going to have to endure. You're not going to float it through and feel twinkly toes and salt, glory dust all over you. And it's going to be, if you endure chastening, God deal with you as sons, for what is son in whom the Father does not chasten. Listen, so the Bible says, do you have verse 8? I don't have verse 8, just 7. So if you endure chastening, the Bible says that you listen, God's kids don't quit. When God begins to whip you, you don't quit. When God challenges you, he don't quit. When God chastens you, you don't quit. One of my favorite story of all time is the boy that went to college. And he had played around and played around and played around. And his dad said, if you fail this semester, you are going into the military. And it was only a week before final exams, and he was taking zoology. And that week, he took that entire week to try to take a whole semester and make up for what he had not done for a whole semester. And so he studied all those silly names they have, all the, you know, the animals and all that stuff. And he went into, finally, he was bug-eyed. He was rings under his eyes. He was bloodshot. And he went in. He was exhausted. He went into the final exam. And when he walked in, he saw a perch. And on that perch were 10 birds with a bag over each of the birds. And all you could see was their legs. And he's sitting there. And you look, he goes up to his seat. He puts his books down. He begins going, what in the world? And after about 20 minutes, here comes the professor in the door. He gets up to the chalkboard and he writes this. Name these 10 birds by their legs. This is your final exam. He began to hear the military taps beginning to play. He lost it. He jumps up, throws his books on the floor, and shouts, this is a stupid exam, and this is a stupid university, and you are a stupid professor. And that professor, red-faced, ran up those steps and said, son, what is your name? He got boy, pulled his pants up and says, you guess, professor, you guess. I've told that a million times. I still laugh every time I hear it. How much can you endure? One house? Is that your limit? One house? That's all you can endure? One house? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Winston Churchill, I love studying history. And Winston Churchill is one of the guys that I admire in terms of a leadership and what he did. But during Britain's darkest hours, when defeat looked absolutely insurmountable, that are we going to happen. Listen, it looked like it. He said he stood and he said this, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight in the streets, we shall fight in the hills. Sound like one of my family vacations. They said but in the mount of insurmountable hell. Listen, he would not give up. And listen, he used to walk around the bomb riddled streets of London with a cigar hanging out the side of his mouth, saying, we will win. We will not give up. We will. And so when you begin to do that, you begin to get some grit in your life. Many of the countries gave up without a fight. Many of the countries that Hitler took over literally quit. God give us that kind of grit in the church. Listen, I want you to remember this, that literally, don't forget this. Because of Britain, because of the U.S., because of those nations that wouldn't just surrender immediately and just give it all, you know what happened? Hitler, I want to remind you that Hitler ended up killing himself and having his fanatic followers burn him to ashes because he finally came up against the people that would not quit. Now, let me tell you something about the devil. You've got to have some endurance in your life. You've got to come to the place where I'm going to endure to the end. Right. Tough, I know it's tough. Endure, yeah, it's enduring. Otherwise, it'd just be an easy. We're used to the comfort zone and everything. I miss my nice warm bed. I'm tired of sleeping on a floor for 2 months. Come on, somebody. Tired of doing this. And every time you look around, you need that. And you don't got that. And you got this. You don't have that. I understand. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna make it to the end. How many going with me? I'm gonna endure to the end. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. Every time I walk by an oak tree, I always think about that thing began by a nut that would just endure. A little nut just endured and endured and endured. I love this little poem I read the other day. When you're discouraged and feeling a little bit blue, take a look at a mighty oak and see what a nut can do. Who are God's heroes? I told you this, but I love it. Zen and Reggie Reynolds were missionaries to Africa. They took their son Greg, 9 years old, 300 miles away. They put him in a boarding school in Africa. Word came that he was sick. They loaded the Jeep 300 miles across Africa. By the time they got there, he died. They laid him to rest in a little red sands behind that little chapel in the red sands of Africa. But when Zen, the mother, wrote her first letter home, the first words of that letter was this: God has entrusted us with a very great sorrow. God has entrusted us with a very great sorrow. Can I maybe proffer this to you today? You know, God knows what each person can handle. Maybe some that did not get flooded could not have handled it right now. I don't know. Instead of looking at it somewhere that this person had more faith than, you know, the Bible said, listen, she wrote, God has entrusted us with a very great sorrow. I always said this, who mentioned Job first? When you read the book, who brought up Job's name? You don't know. Well, I'll tell you. The devil comes up, presents himself before God, and God says, where you been? He said, I've been walking to and fro throughout all the earth. And God says, have you noticed or thought about my servant Job? And I'm going to see there's a Job. God brought his name. If God had been silent, never said the name Job. Come on, somebody. But he knew. And the Bible says, he that endures, he endures to the end. If you endure it, one of the big things about life is this: God has trusted us with a very great sorrow. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I get this again. For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished. I don't know about you. I'm going to finish my course. Flooded four houses, 32 tractors, and 10. I'm going to finish my course. Amen. You know what? Because I'm going to endure. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I believe with all my heart that the things I'm going down in here is nowhere compared to the glory I'm going to receive in heaven. Amen. And so I'm going to endure to the end. Listen, I believe that endurance means more. Hebrews 11 and verse 27, it speaks of Moses. He, by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured. So you got to see the invisible to endure. You got to see the sweet by and by sometimes to deal with the nasty now and now. And when you cast your eyes and then you endure, I'm going to tell you one of the biggest things I've ever learned is this. We sing about the cross. We share about the cross. We love the Lord about what he did on the cross. But I want you to what the Bible says about the cross. Next scripture. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? How did he make it those 7, 8, 9 hours? How did he make it those 7 hours on the cross? Did he just hang there just easy, no problems? You know, just the Bible says he endured the cross. See, I believe one of the greatest things, you want me to tell you when I think one of the times you're also, most likely, is we think when you do this, when you see miracles and all this happening through you. Let me tell you one of the times that you're like Jesus more than others is when you have to endure something. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Where do we ever get the idea that life was to run smoothly? Where do we ever get the idea that we're to be like Hollywood? There's a happy ever after ending to every situation. How many of you ever watched Bonanza? You remember Bonanza? You ever watched Bonanza? You remember the show where little Joe got married? Anybody watch that show where little Joe got married? He met a girl, got married. She died. He was gone. He was single again by the end of the show. 30 minutes. He and his two brothers, you know, and dad lived together. In 30 minutes, met a girl, got married. She's gone. And by the end of 30 minutes, it's just the four of them again. Can I have an amen in this place? All right. I think there's people here today that's lost your confidence. And I remember this when Jesus was on the cross. It says for this, for looking at Jesus, the fountain of perfection, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. See at the right hand. You know what he did? For the joy that was set. I believe this with all my heart. They were jeering at him from the base of that cross. You saved others, you saved. You cannot come down from the cross if you're him. They jeered at him. They were just shouting things at him. And the Bible says he endured the cross because he effectively, who for joy set before him. I believe with all my heart, when the blood was running down his eyes, he looked beyond old Jerusalem and saw new Jerusalem. I believe that he hung on that cross for the joy that was set before him. His ears, instead of listening to the jeers of the crowd before him, he began to hear a new song. Come on, somebody. Worthy, millions upon millions singing, worthy is the Lamb.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, there's something about endurance. When you get to do that, I've learned this. I begin to let the Lord just open up heaven. And you begin to see him. Listen, when you've got businesses that are on the verge of collapse, maybe drugs is about to whip you. Maybe pornography is about to whip you. Maybe just the bitterness of what you're going through, the hardness and the longness of what you're going through. Listen, endure to the end. Put one foot in front of the other. Be like Jesus who endured the cross. The Bible says now that he sat down at the right hand of God Almighty. Everybody say amen, would you? Hey, lay everything out of your hands. I want to pray with you. Maybe, well, I don't know where you're at this morning, and maybe you're at a place and you want to say, Lord, help me endure. Father, help me. I don't know where it is, what you're dealing with. Express to God where you want that endurance. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your business. Maybe in your emotions. Maybe in your character. Maybe in habits. Maybe in the rebuilding of your home. Maybe you've not even got that problem. You got some other things. You need to endure. You need to learn how not to quit, but to endure through the end of it. And you say, God, I need help. God, I need you to help me endure. God, give me strength to endure. God, give me encouragement. Lord, open up my eyes that I may see the joy that is set before me. I'm going to tell you, in about a year, you're going to be sitting back in your house. You're going to have new furniture. You're going to have, a new car. Many of you got new cars, new couch. You're going to have a new bill you never had before. You're going to have a new payment, new house payment you never had, or didn't have for a long time. But let me tell you something. God will give you strength. God is for you. God wants to bring you back to the raw meat and the gunpowder of the gospel. And that is that he that endures to the endure hardness as a good soldier. So, Father, this morning, I pray for every person in here that needs to endure one more time, Lord. Today they came in and they're ready to throw the towel in. They're ready just to pull up the white flag and say, enough is enough. God, I pray today for fresh endurance, fresh courage, fresh strength, God, to be like you, to endure, to endure, to endure. I thank you that I serve a God who endured. I thank you that I serve a Jesus, a Savior who endured to the end. And we count you happy, Lord. We thank you for happiness through endurance. So this morning I pray one more time for those, Lord, that need to endure. Now, maybe you're here, especially if you're not a child of God. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you're not a child of God, if you've not been born again, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to quit. I want you to quit this morning. Quit what? Quit running from God. Quit running from God this morning and turn your life over. Maybe you're at a place where maybe life is doing really good for you right now. But let me tell you, things can change in a moment's time. On a Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend, it can go from one thing. I'm going to tell you, and there's many here this morning that would testify, hey, it can happen in a moment. So I'm going to ask you to quit running from God and just say, I want you to pray with me. Everybody pray with me. Say, dear God, today I quit running from you. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I surrender my whole life in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. God, I pray for new strength in this place. I pray, God, that in the middle of the long stretch, the marathon that many are running right now, that you would infuse new strength in their lives and that they would endure to the end. All the setbacks, all the problems, all the cost, all the lies, all the being taken advantage of, all that stuff, Lord. I just thank you for new endurance in the name of the Lord. As you endured the cross, Lord, let us be like you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Give the Lord a great clap offer. Would you do that? All right. Get somebody a good hug before you go today. God bless you.